China has devalued its yuan for the second time in a week, dropping the currency by 1.1%. The move may place pressure on the Reserve Bank in Australia to drop its interest rates further to stimulate exports, with fears cheaper Chinese exports will push down our terms of trade, as economist Lindsay David explains to Matthew Carstunen.
What's been happening in China is their economy. I mean, they've been growing at a very rapid rate the last, 15 or 20 or so years, depending on how you want to measure it. But, this rapid acceleration of growth is slowly coming to an end, and China has been spending a fortune, building a new nation. And obviously, the country is very heavily dependent on exports, and its currency, was kind of very closely tied and pegged to the United States dollar. Now, the United States dollar has gotten very strong, which has made the Chinese yuan also build up a lot of strength. Hence, it makes it more difficult for China to be able to export its goods and services at the affordable price it once was. So China's kind of going through this measure to try and reduce the value of its own currency to be able to make its exports a bit cheaper for every country outside who doesn't use the United States dollar.
That's the exact argument. A lot of people have said that the government is intervening to stimulate their export economy. What does this mean for the Australian dollar and Australia's own interests within China?
Well, the big problem for Australia is we kind of made a really bad bet that China would kind of continue to consume so much of our iron ore. The Treasury or the Reserve Bank of Australia, back 3 or 4 years ago, kind of got a bit caught up in a bit of myopia and assumed that China would just end up consuming so much iron ore that they would end up building more apartments than its own population. And that's just simply not going to happen. And reality over the whole situation is just slowly setting in, where we're realising that we've built too many mining operations to produce too much iron ore, and we're seeing the value of the cost per metric tonne of iron ore continuing to crash over the last 12 months, and we'll probably see it fall a lot further, and that affects our terms of trade. Now, that whenever a country's terms of trade get negatively impacted, that also impacts the value of their currency, and that's what's happening here in Australia. And the knock-on effects onto that can be quite severe.
And leading off from that point, many are predicting that this will hit Australia's resource industry the hardest. Looking at it from a financial perspective, what kind of short-term and long-term impacts could this have on Australia's, resource economy?
Well, the resource economy, because it was such a rapid build-up of new operations, particularly out in Western Australia and Queensland and Northern Territory, we're kind of seeing the reverse happen. So we spent a fortune building several hundred billion dollars worth of heavy resource infrastructure, and that could, quite frankly, in the short term, the value of those operations are falling by the day. But in the long term is whether these miners will be able to continue to be able to pay back their debts to their creditors if the spot price of iron ore and coal continue to fall the way they have. Now, the knock-on effect to the Australian economy is quite significant, because that's the first big bet we made is on China. The second big bet we've made is that the value of our houses continue to rise day by day. And if that starts to reverse, that starts to expose the Australian banking system on how much debt it's actually lent to home buyers. And that's a situation no country wants to be in.
Economist Lindsay David speaking with Matthew Carstunen.
On the Money, hedge your bets and stay tuned.
Professor James Lawrenson is Deputy Director of the Australia-China Relations Institute. Unsurprisingly, he has a more positive view of China's move to devalue the yuan. He explains the significance of China decoupling the Chinese currency from the US dollar.
The key thing to focus on is not that the Chinese currency has become cheaper, but rather that it's become more flexible. That's the real story, that China's exchange rate is going to be driven by market forces in the future. It's not going to be set at a given level by the Chinese central bank.
What are the implications of that for other currencies and also for commodity prices?
Yeah, the implications are good. If you look at all the major economies in the world, the US, Japan, the Eurozone, including Australia as well, they all have flexible currencies. Now, look, that's for a good reason. Flexible currencies help to shield your domestic economy against shocks overseas. So, for example, during the mining boom in Australia, one of the reasons we didn't have a huge outbreak of inflation was because the Australian dollar appreciated and that pulled back domestic spending. Now we're seeing the opposite. The Australian dollar's falling and that's providing a boost to spending. Now, China has been a very, very unusual exception in being the only major economy that had a pegged exchange rate. Now it's moving to a flexible one. That's a good thing. It means the Chinese economy is going to be able to grow more stably in the future. And of course, Australia has a huge interest in that because China buys double the amount of Australian goods and services than our second largest customer, which is Japan.
And you think that this move will also mean that the value of the Chinese yuan will better reflect the underlying economic conditions in China?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So take the last 12 months, for example. Until Tuesday, the Chinese currency was 6th against the US currency. Now, that makes no sense in terms of economics. Over the last year, of course, the US economy and the Chinese economy have been experiencing different economic conditions. So you would actually want to see the exchange rates moving against each other, but that hasn't happened. Now we're getting in place a system where the exchange rate can reflect the realities on the ground in the US and in China as well.
Do you agree with concerns that this devaluing of the Chinese currency and the fall in the Australian dollar could see Chinese investors want to invest more in housing here, moving the currency out of China and into places like Australia, which in turn could have further impacts on our housing market and that housing bubble?
No, I think overseas investments like that are not driven by short-run movements in the exchange rate. Chinese investment in Australia is driven by long-term considerations. The fact is that Chinese investment think that Australia is a great place, that Australia is a great place to put their money, and I think for good reason. We've got a good economy, stable growth prospects. So I'm not surprised that the Chinese have had an interest in investing in Australia, and I think that's going to continue, and it's not going to be much affected by what happens to the exchange rate on a day-to-day basis.
Do you think the RBA in response is likely to cut interest rates here to help stimulate exports because this devaluing of the Chinese yuan makes their commodities cheaper compared to ours?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen because the only reason we would devalue our currency or depreciate our currency would be we were in direct competition for the things that China's exporting. Now, we're not in the same game. We export completely different things. My guess is that the Australian Reserve Bank will be looking upon this as a positive because what it's going to do, if anything, it will boost China's exports. Now, of course, Australia's commodities serve as inputs into China's exports. So if anything, this is a good story for the Australian economy, and that's the way I think the Reserve Bank of Australia will be looking at it.
So why do you think other commentators are saying the big loser out of this will be Australia's resource firms and especially those who are exporting aluminium, zinc and nickel?
I think a lot of people are getting lost on the fact that just over the last couple of days, we've seen a depreciation of the currency, so the Chinese currency has lost a bit of value. Now, this is only 2 days. The key consideration is not what's happened over the last 2 days. It's the fact that the Chinese currency is becoming more market orientated. And that's where the big gains for Australia are going to come, because it's going to mean that the Chinese economy is going to be more stable in the future. Good story for Australia.
All right, just looking a little bit at the state of China's economy, there have been concerns that there's an economic bubble there and that bubble is going to burst. We've seen China roll out its own stimulus packages over the last number of years, well, since the GFC in 2008, and some of that has gone towards huge infrastructure and investment projects within China, building ghost towns, building new cities, basically. Do you think that there is going to be a bubble that bursts in China?
No, I don't. And I think we've already seen that in the data. That was a fear 12 months ago. But property prices in China are now actually, they've stabilised. And in the big cities, they've actually started to increase as well. So any fears that China is going to have a property market bubble that's going to burst, I think have receded. It's not a major concern now.
On the Money. In for a podcast, in for a pound.
On the Money with me, Catherine Zangara. We're talking China with James Lawrenson, Deputy Director of the Australia-China Relations Institute. Treasurer Joe Hockey and Minister for Trade Andrew Robb hosted the second annual Australia-China Strategic Economic Dialogue this week, meeting with Chairman of the National Development and Reform Commission, Zhu Xiaoxi. Discussion didn't only focus on free trade negotiations, but on other aspects of the $150 billion annual China-Australia trade relationship, with Australia announcing we'll be a founding member of the new Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, or AIIB. China is the largest shareholder in the bank, with Australia set to contribute $5 billion, the same figure the government is committing to the Northern Australia Infrastructure Fund. China will also send representatives to a Northern Australia Investment Forum planned for November to discuss their potential role in the Northern Australia Infrastructure Facility. James Lawrenson from the Australia-China Relations Institute says this is good news for our economy.
First of all, this bank is going to be funding more infrastructure development in the region. That's clearly a positive for our exports. Iron ore, for example, is a major input into steel. To build bridges, you need a lot of steel and other pieces of infrastructure as well. So it supports Australia's exports. The other reason I think it's important for Australia is because Australia can provide very good expertise in terms of how a well-managed bank should be run. Indeed, I think China looks upon Australia. It hopes that Australia will provide that role. We've got a lot of expertise in running institutions very efficiently, and I think our role in this bank will play that role.
In particular, China is going to be sending representatives to participate in a Northern Australia Investment Forum, which is going to be held in November this year. And this will be actually looking at the opportunities of this Northern Australia Infrastructure Fund that the government announced in the federal budget this year. What do you think could come of that? Do you think China are going to be major investors in terms of infrastructure and the development of Northern Australia?
Yeah, well, let's hope they are, because the development of Northern Australia, particularly for agricultural purposes, has been talked about for decades. The problem is no one's been willing to invest. And even with this announcement in the federal budget, it's a great start, but it's not going to be enough. The only way Northern Australia is going to start producing a whole lot of agricultural output is if there is massive investment in infrastructure, such as irrigation, rail, transport facilities, these sorts of things. Now, if China's willing to come to the party to do that, that's a very, very good thing for Australia. And I think it's a good thing for Chinese investors, and Australia benefits from that as well. Frankly, that's what we've been lacking in the past.
Well, what do you make of the concerns that many Australians hold about the amount of Chinese investment in Australia?
Yeah, well, this is an issue that attracts a lot of attention, but the reality is that there isn't a lot of Chinese investment in Australia. Take agriculture, for example. 99% of farm businesses, agribusinesses in Australia, are fully Australian-owned. That's according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics. So there's 1% owned by foreigners, and that's all foreigners, not just the Chinese. So the idea that the Chinese have bought the farm is simply not the case. And in places like Northern Territory, what we desperately need are Australian companies partnering with interested Chinese companies, the Chinese companies bringing the capital, the Australian companies bringing the skill and producing more output, win-win for both China and Australia.
In terms of the housing market, 1 in 5 homes sold in New South Wales this year were bought by foreign investors, many of them Chinese. That does indicate there is quite a lot of Chinese investment here.
Yeah, so that's a great headline, that 1 in 5, but don't forget that's referring to new houses. These are houses that didn't exist 12 months ago. What's happening there is you've got Chinese investors willing to put their money into expanding the housing stock in Australia. Now, it's a pretty simple economic proposition that if you expand supply, that actually puts downward pressure on prices. We're not talking about 1 in 5 existing houses being sold to Chinese investors. That's certainly not the case.
James Lawrenson, Deputy Director of the Australia-China Relations Institute.